Hey there, nerds. We're back with another episode of Two Nerdy Dads. With me is a man from Tennessee and Michigan and Colorado.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
So what's going on this week, Jason?
Well, first of all, sir, happy Father's Day.
You know what, man? Back at you. It is the one time you can be, I think, just all-out nerds with our kids, and our wives have to accept it.
That's right. That's right. So how was your Father's Day? What did you do anything cool?
I got a pair of Batman boxers with a black cape hanging off the back. I am not sure how to use that.
That is awesome. I have the socks. I have yet to see the boxers. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And it was a little confusing because it was red, white, and blue like Captain America, but it was definitely the bat symbol. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but this is amazing.
Huh.
I have those. Don't worry, fans. You will not see me in public with those.
No. No.
How about you, sir? What'd you get?
They have ordinances against that kind of thing.
Not here in Vegas.
Probably true. Awesome, awesome. Well, mine was great as well. It was great to just spend time with the family. And then the wife and I actually got to go see the musical Book of Mormon.
Oh, very
by,
cool.
Yeah, by the guys who do South Park. And she got that for me back on Valentine's Day. So that was when the tickets were for. So we ended up getting to go and see that, and it was awesome. Hilarious. Just great.
That's fantastic.
So, good. Good. Well, I'm glad you had a good Father's Day.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you did too. That's fantastic. So did we have any news this week?
Well, a couple of casting one for certain casting in Daredevil, and then the other is that I saw was Warner Brothers was taking a look at, for Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, which most of us know from, if you watch the BBC version of Sherlock, or you may know him as Khan from Star Trek Into Darkness, or you may know him as the voice of Smaug in the Hobbit movie.
Yeah, he's all over the place nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, definitely up and coming.
To me, the other half of that, if I remember correctly, was Tom Hardy, potentially?
Yes, yes, Tom Hardy.
That seems like two sides of a coin. That's not the same person there.
Yeah, it really isn't. And, I mean, aside from his role in Inception and Bane, I don't know much about Tom Hardy. I watched one miniseries with him in it where he played a gangster who kind of got out of control. And it was a sort of a British Scarface, almost, if you will.
Mm.
And he was okay in that, but he's sort of the kind of the thug type of a character, whereas definitely Cumberbatch is more cerebral.
Yeah.
Definitely, I mean, if you're going for someone who's egotistical and a genius, you know, I mean, Stephen Strange is this expert surgeon, and certainly before he becomes, you know, the mysticist, he is pretty full of himself, and that's kind of what leads to his fall. And I can see Cumberbatch playing that character. And of the two, he's the one I would pick for certain.
Yeah, I can see that. His turn as Khan, which the more times I've seen Star Trek Into Darkness, the more I appreciate it, especially how it took the original Rathacon and just turned it on its ear a little bit so that it was completely different, yet a huge ode to the original. But his portrayal of Khan, it's just amazing. You get the fact that he's a genius, which nothing against Ricardo Montalban, but I never really got that aspect of it. But
yeah,
with Cumberbatch, you're like, oh yeah, man, he is a genius. But then his brutality too is just he's vicious. So yeah, I could definitely see him playing that. But I love Tom Hardy. I can't say no, but I'm just like, I don't really see it.
Yeah, I just don't see him, and I think even just look-wise, you know, you put the two pictures next to each other and put Doctor Strange in the middle, which one of our articles on nerdlocker.com has that, and you just kind of tend to lean more towards Cumberbatch, you know, just for the look of things as well. But if our readers, or our listeners, sorry, haven't seen Sherlock from the BBC, check it out, because it's solid, especially if you like the Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr., check it out because you'll see that it's in that vein, but they modernized it. They set it in modern times and
That's
have
cool.
Sherlock Holmes. And then, of course, his Dr. Watson is Martin Freeman, who is, of course, what's not Frodo, the Bilbo in The Hobbit. So you can kind of see where they are acting on the same screen, and not one of them is a dragon. As you can see. And they've
funny.
Got really good chemistry, and it's a great, it's one of my favorite series, really.
And
sure
I believe it's currently on Netflix, so check that out.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, absolutely.
And you touched on, and I'm excited for this because Marvel owns it. They're going to Netflix, which I think the Netflix model is amazing for TV shows, for original programming, Daredevil. And they have cast their Kingpin and Vincent D'Onofrio, who I think is an amazing actor. He kind of – I shied away from seeing anything of his lately because he did the Law & Order thing for a long time, and I just don't watch Law & Order. But
yeah.
The things he did, especially with, like, Men in Black, as silly as it sounds, but him pulling off the character of Edgar as a bug where he's just moving his body in weird gyrations and talking funny,
yeah.
It's like, man, that's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely has the ability to do some character acting. You know, he can do a
yeah.
wide variety of things. And I think the same thing I have with him is, I'm not sure he looks the part, but, you know, because I'm used to the Kingpin as being this basically like, I don't know, I mean like a 300-pound Lex Luthor, you know, like just
yeah.
a big, huge, stocky guy, which I'm sure he could pack on the pounds and really, you know, hit the weight room and beef himself out. And then, you know, they can shave his head, no problem.
Yeah.
But I have no question about his acting ability. I think he can nail that part, no problem.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's one of the few things I liked about the original. No, I know he's not the greatest actor. Rest in peace. I loved a lot of his movies. But Michael Clark Duncan as the Kingpin,
yeah.
I thought he did a fantastic job. And he was this big, hulking dude. And I thought that was great.
Yeah, he was, I thought, one of the highlights of that movie, you know, which isn't saying a whole lot, I suppose. But
yeah.
But I was pleasantly surprised with his performance. And I thought he fit it. It's because, hey, you can't ask this guy to do a wide range of roles, but if you
yeah.
give Duncan a role that's right up his alley, he can do it, you know, and,
yeah.
and he did. And I agree with you there.
So the other bit of casting news we had, and it's more, I guess it borderlines news and rumor, because it's kind of there, but it's not yet signed on the dotted line, is Aquaman. Jason
yeah.
Moore.
Yeah, Jason Momoa as Aquaman, which, again, it was baffling because everything that I had read, they had been rumoring this, and he always responded, you know, with sort of downplaying it, and even had been quoted as saying, actually, I see myself more as Lobo
yeah.
than as Aquaman. And so when he had said that, or I had seen he had said that in an article, I was like, yeah, I could totally see him as Lobo. And so that's how I had him in my head. So when it came out that, no, in fact, he is actually, and I guess it's still rumored, but it's pretty confirmed, I suppose, is maybe the
yeah.
way it is, confirmed rumor, that he was going to be Aquaman. I don't know. I just sort of was like, oh. And I don't know if that's just because my expectations of him as Lobo were, you know, kind of had taken root, I suppose. So I had a chance to actually briefly meet him at the Motor City Comic Con. And I refrained from asking him, you know, about Aquaman because I'm sure he got that question like 32,000 times. But also because of the answers that he had given. And basically, and now I sort of wish I would have asked him that. I wonder what response he would have given me. But man, that dude is huge. Like just seeing him in person, it was just like, I mean, he was stacked. That guy's gonna be a good Aquaman for sure.
So all you nerdy dads out there, I want you to know the first name drop came from Jason. Not Jason. It was like, oh, look at me, I'm Jason. I'm friends with Jason Momoa. I've met
him. I gotta do I gotta do what I can, man. I, you know, anytime something like that happens, it's such, you know, I've got to build my street cred up a little bit here.
No, but that's really cool, because I don't know how many times you see an actor in real life, and you're like, they're super small. They're like 5'9", and skinny as all get out. You're like, whoa, that's not the big guy I just saw on screen. That's cool.
Yeah, no, it was, I was definitely, he was there, and Lou Ferrigno had been there the year before, so I couldn't compare him right side by side, but this guy was, like, way taller than Lou Ferrigno. Big guy. I'm sure he's going to do well, for certain. And then, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what I would think. We've never seen Aquaman on the screen, so I don't know. And I'm not a huge Aquaman fan to know how his character should come across, so I have no idea whether he could pull it off or not.
The take I've heard is that they want to have Aquaman be sort of the angry Atlantean after the events of the World Devastator and Man of Steel, specifically the over the Indian Ocean. And destroying the Indian Ocean and the life, sea life in it, he wants answers, so he comes to land to try and get those answers. I like that take. I'm a big fan of the New 52 take that they did, where it's sort of Arthur is this being torn between he's a human and he's an Atlantean, and he doesn't know which way to go. He does not want to be king, but he has to be king because his brother Orm sort of screwed things up. So I really like that take, but I think an angry Arthur, sort of the I didn't read way back in the day, so I'll go with my 90s knowledge. When he came back in the 90s, he seemed to have this more of a I'm with the sea people, and this is what we do. Screw you guys. If you guys infringe on the world here, then we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Was that the grunge days with the hook hand, too? Or
yes. I don't remember which villain put his hand in the piranhas, but yeah, that was those days.
Yeah. That was kind of, I remember that being, they were trying to make Aquaman tough, because, I mean, for so long, and he still does, Aquaman has always had this stigma of being a loser superhero.
Yeah.
And being, you know, real cheesy, and what a lame power, and all the rest. So they definitely, I remember in the 90s, tried to toughen him up, and did so along the lines of, you know, Ghost Rider, and all those kind of, like, you just make him hardcore, and yeah, I remember that too. So
with
I think
his long,
it'll be
flowing hair.
Yes, his long flowing. But he had a beard. He had a beard.
That was true. That was true. But and that does. I mean, as I joke about it, Aquaman is one of our only blonde superheroes. So it's like Jason Momoa is not blonde. Are they going to change? How are they going to do that?
Yeah, I had wondered that myself as well. Are they going to make him blonde? I don't know. I don't know. This is sort of a crazy question. I think maybe we'll let the girls worry about that one.
Good point. Good point. But we got some news from DC, and again, it's speculation news. It's hard to tell anymore the way it comes out so fast.
Oh,
but,
man.
DC has kind of announced their slate. Well, I say Warner Brothers. It's sort of announced their slate of films to come out, and this is impressive because it's something that Marvel has done that we know, you know, Phase 1, Phase 2, and what they're kind of coming up with. Well, DC's kind of made their announcement. This is quite impressive.
Yeah, it is. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the competition between Marvel and DC or Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And I think that can only be good. I think it can be a good thing because it's going to make for more good comic book movies. And, I mean, how long have we been waiting for a Justice League movie, and now, you know, it started out as Batman versus Superman was supposed to be a Man of Steel sequel. You know, initially that's how it was presented to us, and then we kept hearing, you know, Wonder Woman's cast, Cyborg's cast, Aquaman has been cast, and I just kept saying, just call it Justice League already. Well, Dawn of Justice, so that kind of implies that it's going to be the beginning of when all these heroes sort of come to the forefront. Because of Superman, which I think is a cool idea.
Yeah, and I was kind of surprised at where they're going, because they're doing Dawn of Justice, obviously, and I don't remember the exact order, but I believe Shazam was the next one, which really surprised me that they're sneaking that one in.
Yeah, yeah, and that's always been an interesting title, because Shazam, as most of us comic book nerds know, was originally called Captain Marvel back in the day. And DC basically sued the comic book who produced Shazam, saying it was too much like, or Captain Marvel, saying it was too much like Superman. And so then it went away, and they had then DC bought the rights to it. But in between that time, Marvel had gotten the rights to the name Captain Marvel, and of course they have their own Captain Marvel, which now of course is Carol Danvers, which is really cool. But it's interesting that they, and so what's funny about it is DC can't use the name Captain Marvel. They can't call Captain Marvel Captain Marvel. They can, and they've sort of, in the New 52, rebooted it, and they just refer to him as Shazam. But I know old-school comic book fans like myself are always going to think of him as Captain Marvel. But Shazam, I don't know. Is he even going to fit in? Is he going to be his own sort of solo pick? Later, or what?
I was shocked to see that on the slate. I was like, wow, because we haven't heard. And to have that one so soon after Dawn of Justice, we haven't heard any casting about that. There's been rumors, once again, Chris Johnson being to be Shazam, but nothing definitive. So that's why I was surprised at that one.
Well, the last rumor I heard about The Rock was that he was supposed to play what's the villain, the arch nemesis, Black Adam.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, that was the latest thing. I just seen that. So, and I think that would fit him perfectly.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. But the other movies they've announced are obviously Justice League, then a Wonder Woman solo project, an Aquaman solo project, a Flash versus Green Lantern project, and the one that surprised me the most, a direct sequel to Man of Steel.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sort of excited by it because it meant to me officially that, okay, so this Dawn of Justice, Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice, isn't even really the Superman sequel, you know? It made me think, okay, because in my opinion, I was like, all right, so all these characters are just going to make cameos. But now there's the potential that, no, they're going to have more involved roles in this very first film, and maybe it ends with the formation of this Justice League, which will be for the next film. So I don't know. I kind of figured that DC would do this, that they would basically do the opposite of Marvel, where Marvel had all these solo films that led into an Avengers film, and DC, you know, would instead have this basic Justice League film and then split off and do all the individual storylines, which it looks like they're kind of doing that. Although Flash and Green Lantern, I don't believe, have been put into the Dawn of Justice film.
With Flash and Green Lantern that they've announced, we haven't heard anything about that cast.
I think that's pretty exciting that we could start from scratch with Green Lantern, which I know a lot of people think that we should. And I wonder who they'll end up going with the Flash. I know back before he played Green Lantern, it is, what's his name?
Reynolds.
Me up names. Yeah, Reynolds, thank you.
Yeah.
Always wanted to be Flash. That was the character he wanted to play. So maybe, I don't know if that would be any good, though, if by, like, having him switch over to Flash and have someone else, it's probably better just to start from complete scratch and not even have Reynolds in anything. You can go concentrate on being a better Deadpool.
Yeah, that would be nice. But I think there's a good indication that where Warner Brothers is going, because when they announced the Flash TV show, I was a little concerned with continuity. I'm like, are they going to try and mesh the continuity between TV and movie like Marvel has done? But I think it's pretty obvious that they're not. It's, you have your TV world, and then you have your movie world.
Right. And I'm sure that a lot of people that are huge fans of Arrow are going to be upset with me right now. But I think that's a good thing. I really do. I think they each have their separate niches. And to try to force them into continuity, I think, is going to lead to more problems. I think it's easier to do what Marvel did and have S.H.I.E.L.D. spin out of, you know, the Avengers movies, yeah. And that works a little bit better. But Arrow's great. I have nothing against Arrow. I think it's actually pretty good. I've only seen the first, I think, two seasons. I haven't seen the latest one. But I know it's, you know, it's popular. It's well-written. I love how they throw in all these characters. And speaking of some rumors, it's rumored that possibly Nightwing will be featured in the next one as a sort of rival to Oliver Queen. And so that'll be interesting to see how they portray that character, if in fact that's who it is. In the script, I guess they're calling him Daniel, but they always have code names for all the characters because they don't want to give anything out.
That would be awesome.
Info. Yeah, I think would
Dick
too,
Grayson,
absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to
see
that.
Yeah, it would
be cool. I like how what they've done. And it makes sense because if you've seen season two, they got rid of, and I'm so thankful. Well, I hope they did. Black Canary, she's left. That was one of my biggest problems with the second season is they recast, can't remember her name, her sister, and then turned her into Black Canary. And I was like, what?
Really?
This is ridiculous. So that makes me angry.
Speedy for the longest time.
No, I'm sorry. The lawyer's sister. I'm sorry, the lawyer's sister.
Oh, okay.
Not the queen, not Oliver Queen's sister. It was, I can't remember her name, but the...
Yeah,
the
I know
that
who you're
he
talking
was
about.
Dating and all that. And I was like, what? Why did they go that route? Yeah, I was...
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a CW.
Well, that's Arrow, though. I mean, it's got its element of... It's like Smallville. I never really got into that either, but it has its target audience, which is, you know... A female audience. There's a ton of female, you know, audience members who love Arrow. And I think that it's really cool that these comic book television shows have sort of, and it started with Smallville, you know, grabbed the market and gone with it. And I think it can only mean good things. I am glad to hear that they're not going to try to mix those continuities because I don't think that they work. And it sounds like if Nightwing's going to be in season three, that they won't mix Gotham with Arrow either, which I think is kind of interesting, and maybe a good thing, but I don't know. I don't even know what to think about all of that, the whole thing. So
I definitely see that as a good thing. But you mentioned that we had a question from a concerned dad. What was our question?
Yeah. Well, we had I asked in the last couple of episodes. We've been asking, hey. Let us know what are your ideas, what do you want to hear us talk about on the show. And a buddy of mine, Doug, replied with one, and he said that his kids are into Wolverine. But, of course, with anything Wolverine now is all too, you know, violent for his kids, and he doesn't want them to read it, which is great. It's good to keep, you know, track of what your kids are reading, and you can't just because it's a superhero – doesn't mean that it's, you know, it's for kids, and you got to be careful of that nowadays. And so he asked us, what can I have my kids read that is Wolverine and is okay for them to read, that's safe for them to read? So I don't know. I had a couple of thoughts, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's not reading, and I hate to say put your kid in front of the TV, but I love the 90s X-Men, and I still, whenever I talk about the X-Men, I hear, it's not that that was great for, you know, kids 5 and under, but I thought it was really good, and I think it might be more appropriate for Wolverine in that aspect. And then you get a little bit of what Wolverine is without all the blood and guts and swearing and smoking and drinking and all that. So I think that's my good one, but I can't think of anything off the top of my head reading-wise. What do you
have? The 90s cartoon is great, and you can find that, speaking of Netflix. We have to get them to sponsor us or something.
I agree, man. And you can tell where we grew up in the 90s, and that's where we see our movies because we have kids and we don't always get out of the house.
That's right. So you can watch that there. And I know there's a newer one called Wolverine and the X-Men, which centers on Wolverine. So that would be another suggestion. And that one's a little bit I bet it's about the same with regards to violence as maybe the 90s one is. But those are two good sources. As far as reading, I think I'd give the same advice. Go back to where the comic code was in place when they couldn't do a whole lot of violence and go back to the, you know, the Wolverines, maybe in that series. I would stay away from the Frank Miller miniseries, though, which is the first sort of four-issue one, because that one is actually pretty violent. It doesn't show a lot of blood and stuff, but it implies it, and, you know, Wolverine's got arrows sticking out of him at one point and stuff. So I would probably steal clear of the Frank Miller miniseries, but anytime after that, when Wolverine became its own series, again, I think it's going to be something you got to flip through the pages and see. And then it depends on your kid's age, too. You know, if he's probably 8 or 9, probably okay. If he's 4 or 5, maybe not, you know. Maybe that's still a little bit too violent and too scary. But you can go that route. And the only other one I could think of where I was thinking, okay, really kid-friendly, would be Power Pack at one point, had Wolverine as a guest star. And it was this series of these four little kids that were all siblings, and they had each of them had their own power. And they would always have, each issue would have a guest star, like the Hulk or Spider-Man. And I know that there's a Wolverine one, and I think they help him to defeat Sabretooth in the issue. I could be misremembering that. But that was one that I got early on when my kids were too little, even for the 90s X-Men and 90s Wolverine issues. So that might be a route. So, yeah.
I also remember seeing, and it might be when they did the whole thing with the X-Babies, but I remember seeing a very kiddish version of Wolverine. And I can't remember exactly what book it was in. It might have even been, they have Teen Titans Go, but they have an Avengers version of that. It might even have been in that. Because I know I've seen a little kiddish version drawing of Wolverine. So that might be something they want to look at, is the Avengers, the kid-friendly version of the Avengers. And I can't remember the name of the book off the top of my head, but it's very much like Teen Titans Go that DC does.
Yeah, and it's... My suggestion to anybody when it comes to any comic book is ask your local comic book store proprietor. And most of them have a kids section where they keep all of the youth-friendly comic books there. And basically, I would still look through them, because I always do, you know, flip through them and see. But I know that for a while there, Marvel was releasing either old stories with new covers. So they were the comic code kind of stories, or even newer stories like Marvel team-ups and stuff like that. There wasn't anything that was just Wolverine, you know, where he was the only character in it. But you'll find him, you know, or the X-Men or somebody that's teaming up or being a part of that storyline. So that's probably your best bet. But he raises an interesting point that really, and we've talked about this in a previous episode, the market for comic books is more towards, you know, teens and on up to 30s and 40s, and the market for kids is really kind of gone by the wayside a little bit. And I really feel, and you know, as a dad, that's where I'm coming from, that's unfortunate, and it's a bummer that there aren't more that are marketed to kids and are more kid friendly. But hey, you do what you can.
It is. It's it borderlines on our parenting fail segment, but 2 years ago at Free Comic Book Day, I picked up Voltron, and I'm like, oh, dude, I remember Voltron as a kid, and I didn't look at the book, handed it directly to James, and he flipped through it a little bit, and then Allison was picking up or something, and she saw it, and she's like, you gave James to read this? I'm like, yeah, why? And I opened it up, and I read a couple pages, and I'm like, oh my god, this is pretty hard for, you know, what was he, 6 at the time. I mean, they're talking about death, they're talking about genocide and just destruction, and I'm like, oh, my God. I don't remember Voltron being like this, so, yeah, my bad. Okay. Whoops. So
you never know.
All of them. You have to.
Yeah, you got to flip through. You never know. And then, of course, you've got to know your own kid and what they, you know, can handle and where they're at. And each kid's a little bit different, but... Yeah, absolutely. So there's the best we could do, Doug. We gave it a shot.
I think those are excellent answers, especially. It's going to be in my head now all night. Awesome.
Yeah,
I'm going to go watch it. So what are we on to now?
Well, we talked about the casting news. I don't know. What have you been reading lately? You checked out any comic books that have stuck out to you?
I have I've been a fan, and I'm not sure there's that many out there, of the Valiant relaunch, and they're about 2 years into it now. I love Archer and Armstrong, and I really enjoy Quantum and Woody. Quantum and Woody's coming to an end, unfortunately. I'm assuming just not enough readership. But just recently got into Bloodshot, who is similar to a Deadpool or a Wolverine. They use nanites to explain why he is body regenerates. That is definitely not for kids. That is adult only, very adult only, with violence. But I've been a big fan of what Valiant's been doing. I really enjoy their characters. How did that jump on?
Yeah, I have never read, I don't think, a single Valiant issue of anything. And so I remember you talking about Quantum and Woody. And it was at Free Comic Book Day. They didn't have a free Quantum and Woody, but my comic book guy had a couple of back issues that were, it was like a pile of them, and I think it was a buck each or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked up the Quantum and Woody issue number one, and I have to say I like it. I like the concept.
It's
rival brothers that, you know, one of which is adopted, and sort of an odd couple superhero team up is what it seems like to me. And I only read the first issue, which basically barely gets started.
Yeah. And it's cool because it's a relaunch, again, from the 90s. Someday I'll grow up and get out of there. But it's a relaunch from the 90s. Christopher Priest wrote it back then. I don't remember who drew it. But it was the best comic book in my mind at the time. Acclaim Comics put it out. Acclaim went under. Valiant took over. Valiant eventually went under as well. And when that got canceled, it was about the same time as the Onslaught problem in X-Men. So I got out of comics.
Dark
Days. That was really what got me out of it. But man, that original storyline, it was a little different. They weren't brothers at the time; they were best friends. But the relaunch, James Asmus, who we did an interview with at Comic-Con last year, check that out on Nerdlocker. He's just a fantastic writer. You'd actually like him, Jason. He does a lot of stage work, theater stuff.
Cool.
But he's from Cleveland, too. But he's just done a great job with it. I think it's kind of gotten a little slow here, but I think that has a lot to do with him being told, basically, okay, I think we're going to end the book, so let's finish it up. And so I'm a little sad at that. But on the flip side, I believe they're going to be jumping in with Archer and Armstrong, which is just fantastic, well-written. Fred Van Lent, he does this amazing job of combining historical fiction. And I, to be honest, I'm a history major, so I know a lot of it. I don't know all of it, obviously. So I don't know if he's making it up or if this is real, but it makes sense to me. So it's a great, great read. He also has a lot of religious angles going on, which is really cool.
That one's another one that I've sort of, like, it looked interesting to me. I mean, it also seems sort of like superheroes you don't normally think of as superheroes, at least from just the covers that I've glanced at. I mean, you got one of the guys, isn't he like kind of an overweight dude?
Yeah, he's basically Eternal, and he just drinks a lot and sexes up a lot and is a big fat guy.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I guess maybe I will take that up too, and maybe that could be something that we do as well. As I know it's hard. We can't read everything, especially as dads. You know, we're so busy. But every now and then, we should make these kinds of suggestions to our readers or something to pick up. So I might have to check that one out, too.
That would be cool, because, to be honest, I got on Archer and Armstrong from Valiant basically because I got the short straw that day and had to read this book that we had to review.
Cool.
Otherwise, I would have never picked it up. And it turned out to be fantastic. So how about you?
Great. Well, I have been, along with reading She-Hulk, which we've talked about before, I've been looking at, I just started reading the Marvel, version, of course, Carol Danvers, and I've enjoyed that pretty well. I've only read the first two issues, and I think it's up to issue four now, so I bought all the back issues so I could be all caught up, and I like the character. You would like, Captain Marvel in that she's a Star Wars fan, which I thought was great. So in issue one, she quotes, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Beautiful.
And then, in issue two, which I haven't quite finished yet, she has a cat who is named Chewbacca, Chewie. So anyway, she references being a Star Wars fan. So
that's awesome.
That might be a continuing trend throughout the series, which will just, you know, be amusing. I've also been reading Original Sin, that series where the Watcher's been killed.
Yep.
And speaking of Star Wars, I think it was issue two, they discover all these dead monsters, and there is a Rancor in and amongst the dead monsters, which I thought was pretty cool. I don't know if you've read that, go back
no.
and look at it and see, and if you haven't, keep your eye open for it. You can't miss him. He's like right in the middle of the pile of monsters. It is a Rancor. Like, you can't, if you look for it and you see it, you'll be like, yep, that's definitely a Rancor.
I don't even know if you know this, Jason. In our very first episode of Nerd Locker, which, if you are ultra curious there, nerd fans, go check it out on YouTube. It is awful. Just excruciatingly painful. We've come a long way. But in that first episode, we had three nerds on camera. Brandon, who's still with us, obviously. Ryan Brunty and Jasmine. Kelly Thompson was there at the time. And they started talking about Dark Forces, the video game. And Brandon calls it a Rancorn. And we all kind of stopped and looked at him. And did you just say Rancorn? Like a unicorn and a Rancor had a baby? What are you talking about? And it was so funny. We're trying to start this nerd show. We're the Uber nerds. And here it is, Brandon messes it up right from the beginning.
Walk of shame for him.
Exactly.
I would bet that night.
We went so far, and we created this T-shirt. If you want it, it's still a Nerd Locker. There's a cross between basically the rainbow Rancorn. We couldn't help ourselves.
That sounds amusing. Yeah.
Yes.
The show definitely has come a long ways. I will have to go back and watch that episode now, just to see it. But that's pretty good. Hey, we all make mistakes, right? And those pronunciations are easy to do.
Like Billy Mitchell, I'm just waiting to make my mistake. And if you don't know Billy Mitchell, watch King of Fistful of Quarters, King of Kong. Sorry, that's a way too nerdy reference.
Okay.
Our here from Maximum Comics has been doing a lot of promotion of that. He really enjoys it.
You know, I was initially, I was sort of annoyed by it. I thought, okay, here they're doing Identity Crisis, which I don't know if you've read that. DC did it, and it was this murder mystery, basically, like who done it. And I thought it was great. And so Marvel was doing it again, and I was sort of like, okay, I don't know. You know, kind of, but what is new under the sun? Nothing, right?
Yeah.
And so the latest issue, I've sort of started to become really intrigued by it. They basically have this D-list villain who has one of the eyeballs, Orb. I don't even know whose villain he is, but he's highly amusing. Like, he has an eyeball forehead, and it's not a mask or anything. So I don't know. I guess the jury's still out for me on that one. I did pick up the first issue of Wolverine's 3 Months to Die. So I did get sucked into that one. Like I said, I probably would last week.
Success for Marvel.
What was that?
Success for Marvel.
Yes, absolutely. So I don't know. That was okay. And I don't know. I've been reading a lot of stuff. A lot of Image stuff, actually. So I don't know if you read a lot of Image or not, but
Image has been doing. I started Shudder. Unfortunately, I didn't get to read it last week. I believe a new issue came out. MPH, the new one comes out tomorrow. Not tomorrow. On this Wednesday. So I'm excited to read that one. That one's the one by Mark Miller that we talked about.
Yeah.
But it's hard to keep up with Image. They come out with so many good new books. It's hard to keep up,
right?
Yeah, Lazarus. That's another one I really enjoy.
I love
yeah.
that one's my favorite.
Lazarus
and
yeah.
East of West. I'm huge on those two. definitely.
That's cool.
And then they do Pretty Deadly too, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And that series has been good, and the first story arc just came to a close, and it was really, really well done. So, yeah, so that's a lot of what I've been reading. I've been spending
way
too much money at the comic book store, but, you know, that's what happens.
That's cool. That's really cool. Sorry about the money, but that's cool.
No, yeah, everybody is. So, parenting fails and parenting wins. Let's go to that one. How about let's start with parenting fails. You want to start off, or
you go ahead? Because I'm still trying to think of one. I mean, not that I'm a super dad. Not that I'm super dad. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Not at all. But I'm just trying to think of one. So you go ahead.
No, but you do have Superman, Batman underwear thing going
on. You're darn right. No, where next episode?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's see. Parenting fail. I think it's because it was Father's Day. We shouldn't even have to do parenting fails.
Yeah,
let's get to wins.
Let's get to wins.
This is Father's Day. There's no parenting fails on the week of Father's Day. So we're going to move right on to parenting wins. And I can definitely start off with that one.
Go ahead.
Actually did it today. As I said before, my son has been obsessed with Godzilla. And so what we did today was we filmed our very first stop-action Lego film, where we filmed Godzilla attacking a city with Lego characters. Now, we built the buildings were built out of cardboard boxes so that we could smash them. So they were not built out of Legos, but the characters were Legos.
Awesome.
And, yeah, I have to give actually my mother-in-law and mother a ton of credit because they did all the pre-production stuff, constructing the and my daughter helped out too, and my son of course did his share, but they were the creative masterminds behind the creation of the buildings and the cities and the cars and everything else. I just did the filming. I was just the cinematographer. So but it was pretty cool. There's actually an app that Lego put out just for making your own little Lego stop action movie. So check it out. I got it way back when the Lego movie came out, so I don't remember if it was free. But if it wasn't free, it was like $2 because I refused to spend any more than $5 on an app for anything, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty cool. It works really well. It's easy to use. And our little movie, which I think came out to be about a minute and 20 seconds or something, was really cute, and it was a lot of fun. It was Godzilla versus Zilla, which I guess, see, my son now knows more about Godzilla than I do. I guess Zilla is like his brother or something, and he looks more like an alligator. I don't know, but so he turned one of his sister's dinosaur stuffed animals into that, and then he had created a Mothra out of cardboard and paper, and even attached the string so he could fly him through the scene. And it was, I have to say, it gives the 80s Godzilla movies a run for their money, I think.
that's awesome.
So it was a lot, and it was a lot of work, but even the work was fun. And like I said, you can't go wrong when you have two grandmas helping you either. So.
No, that's perfect. That's great that you made it a family affair.
Absolutely. You try to do whatever you can.
That's cool. Very cool. Can't wait to see it.
It will be up on YouTube. I will send you a link. When we are done, we're going to actually try to add voices because it just films it silent. So I'm going to try to upload it to my computer and then add the voices into
cool.
it.
Very
yes.
cool. Very
How about
cool.
You? What was your parenting win?
Well, as you know, but very few people know, I used to play soccer. Played soccer my whole life, all the way up into college. And I absolutely love soccer. So last week, the World Cup started. And it's basically my month of nerdness in the sports world as they play in the World Cup. I love it. I can't get enough. And luckily, on Father's Day, I was able to convince, cajole, have my children sit down and watch the games with me. Now, the United States wasn't playing, but it doesn't matter because all the soccer is just awesome to watch. So I got to watch three games on Sunday of soccer. And it was really awesome. Awesome. And they watched it with without too much complaining.
That's what I'm going to ask. Yeah. Now, did they follow it? Were they really into it? Or
I will say they came and went, but yeah, they sat with me for quite a bit. And for a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, that's pretty good. I'll take that.
That's
but
solid.
They didn't complain about, Daddy, can we watch the Lego movie, or can we watch My Little Pony, or can we watch Pokemon? So I will take that, and I know I'm being selfish, but it was Father's Day. As a parenting win, and I convinced my kids it was okay, and it was a good thing to watch soccer.
Hey, it's nothing else. Yeah, culture, right?
World
culture.
Exactly,
right.
And a shout-out to our boys who won. The United States beat Ghana 2-1 today in one of the ugliest games I've ever seen. It doesn't matter. It's a win. We'll take it.
A win's a win.
And Jason
a win
knows
is a win.
That most of the sports teams that I root for are awful and don't win anything, so having one of my teams win is very nice.
Yes, yes. And so who are you pulling for then to win the whole thing? Because as we know from our own coach, the U.S. fans know to win.
So we'll say it that way. I'm pulling for the United States, but realistically,
yeah,
I have to say that the Netherlands looked really good. They looked very impressive in their win over Spain, just dominated 5-1. And the other team that, who was it? I'm trying to think who it was. Germany today. Germany looked, oh my gosh, they destroyed Portugal 4-0. They looked unstoppable. So I'd say either of those pretty much, and I'll have to lean towards Germany because Netherlands never wins. They always finish second or third, so I'm going to have to lean towards Germany.
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, I know very, very little about soccer. I know, a little bit about who's good. I know Brazil's always good, right? I mean, they always have a good team. Who's the Raiders, though, the Oakland Raiders of World Cup? Is that Brazil, or is that are they more the New England Patriots, and Spain is the Oakland Raiders of who's that team that everybody loves to hate and is also maybe not very good, but we like to see them fall in the face?
Gosh, man, I don't know. That's a good question. It's hard to say because pretty much every country that makes it to the World Cup is good on some level because they've already played a year or so, a couple years worth of tournaments to get that far. It's hard to say. Personally, I'm not a big fan of the style that Italy plays, and I know that's going to make a lot of people angry because Italy's a big team. I just think they dive too much, and they're just sort of pretty boys.
They're the floppers, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't stand that. I'm not a big fan of Mexico and their style. They're very one-on-one, sort of ball hog. They don't really do a lot of combination passing. Brazil has a very fluid, beautiful style, but watching them against Croatia, as their first game, they did not look good at all, which is surprising because they're the host country.
Uruguay.
It might be nerves. But Uruguay got upset, which was kind of surprising. I know one of their stars was out, so he didn't play. Trying to think who else looked good. Argentina did not look great, but they looked pretty good. They might be able to pull together. Again, it was the first game. I think maybe Argentina might sort of fall into that realm where, and that might just be a personal thing. I don't know. I remember the days of Diego Maradona and just being like, man, he's good, but I don't know if I like him. And then this whole drug thing came out. I'm like, I don't like Argentina. Forget that. But Argentina might be that team. And, again, that might just be me personally. France is another one. I'm not a big fan of France.
No one likes France. No one likes France like in any regard.
But it's tough because they had Zidane, who was one of the greatest players. He was one of my favorite players of all time. And he was he helped France win the World Cup twice, and they were just great. But for the most part, I can't stand France. So it's a tough one. As you can tell, I'm uber nerdy into this. I love it.
I think we just lost about half our listeners.
I know. They're like, what? We're out of here. Nigeria played today, and I watched it. I mean, that's like the dumbest game ever, and I watched it. It was like, yes, fantastic. So, yeah. And so if you're still listening after all that, check out the World Cup. It's awesome.
Yeah, give it a shot. I mean, hey, it's always good to try new things, whether it's a new comic or a new sport. Give it a shot. I know I've watched soccer before, and it's I like watching it better than I like watching baseball. So I don't know if that's saying much, but anyway.
I will say it's hard to watch, so I understand when people say, well, I don't like soccer. It's like, I know. I played it my whole life, so I get what's going on in the field. But if you've never seen it, it just looks like a bunch of people running around doing nothing, and it gets boring because the scores are low. So I get it.
Yeah. We have short attention spans over here, too, you know. Like, yeah. Lots of scoring, lots of action, and soccer doesn't really offer that often. But, you know, hockey doesn't really either, and yet, you know, a lot of Americans like watching hockey. But I suppose, you know, that's why football will always be king over here in the States. So,
go Browns.
All right, Jimmy. Well, good discussion.
I think so.
Day week. Yeah,
I think episode 3 shaped up to be very nice. Very happy with that. So,
yeah. I think this is – isn't this 4, though? Is this 4? I mean, I know it's
am
going
I missing
really
a
fast.
Time? I don't remember. I'm old.
I think this is 4. We're old, and also, you know, they've been so fun to do that we lose track of them, much like sometimes we lose track of our children. But
well, I guess we have next week's parenting fail. Excellent.
<It's> right. Teaser. Anyway.
Well, don't forget next week, guys, hit us up with your questions so we can help you out. Check us out on iTunes. We are there now. We're also obviously at nerdlocker.com. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are everywhere.
That is the truth. Yes, please check us out. Send us more questions, any of your own parenting wins. We'd love to share other people's parenting wins, or even if you're daring enough to share your parenting fails.
We really love to share your parenting fails.
Absolutely. And happy Father's Day, Jimmy. Happy Father's Day to all of the nerdy dads out there.
Back
and
at you, sir.
Thank you to all the nerdy moms out there for making Father's Day weekend key, because we know that they are a big part of making Father's Day successful, too.
And tolerating all us nerdy fathers.
That's right. That's right.
So, cool. Well, we will see you guys next week, whether it's episode 4 or 5, because I can't remember. We will check you later. Have a good, have a nerdy week, guys.